You're listening to the Cougar Preview Show with Hans and Scotty on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Here in a moment, we're going to catch up with Scott Wolf, covering USC for a long time. He's got two decades of work, publisher of USC Sports Illustrated, has, again, been around the Trojan program for a long, long time. All right, BYU and USC, Hans. I think we all expect a BYU win in this game. I think we all anticipate that this is a game that BYU should win, and frankly win fairly comfortably, but you have some reservations here.
Yeah, I don't feel like it's going to be comfortable, and I don't think it's a given. I've got some hesitations and some worries, to be honest with you. BYU is missing the most important parts of a defense to take on a team like USC. They're missing their top-end safety in AU. They're missing their top two linebackers in Wilgar and Peely.
Yep.
They have a couple of other guys that are banged up in the backfield, and they've got a defensive line that showed a potential exposure to a little bit of gap hitting and speed against Georgia Southern. And so I've got some hesitations. You know, Jackson Dart, he's a couple of interceptions away last week from having a decent game. You know, he's well over 300 and what is over 330 or 340 yards. He was up there against UCLA and moving all over the field. And USC is still going to have plenty of athleticism, and BYU's just down in their defensive backfield. So, no, I don't think this is a given. And, yes, I've got a lot of hesitations in this game.
Well, joining us now on the Smart Rain guest line to help break it down, Scott Wolf, who's been covering USC for a couple decades now, publisher of USC Sports Illustrated, kind enough to join us. Scott, how are you?
Hey, Scott.
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Good. What's this? It's been a weird season for you, and but yet there always seems to be a little drama when it comes to covering USC. Has this been especially weird, or is it just kind of par for the course for USC football?
No, this has been a very weird season. You know, the firing of Clay Helton after two games was weird, but, you know, let's be honest, Lane Kiffin got fired early in the season. It's happened before. But I've just never seen a USC team that I think has quit in games and gotten beaten up physically in games like this. So, you know, I was doing some research. I think it's maybe the worst team since, like, 1957. So, it's just shocking how they've looked in games, especially last weekend against UCLA.
So I was just talking about some of the worries I've got. BYU's defensive backs are pretty banged up, and I don't know who to expect back at this point. USC's offense with Jackson Dart has shown life at times. Do you have any faith that Jackson Dart could come out this weekend and show well against a team here in the state that he came from?
Yeah, he's got loads of potential, and I think when I talked to you guys in the summer, I told you the coaches privately really wanted him to play, and we can see why. I mean, he's young, and he's making mistakes, but he's also making some great plays. I think the biggest problem, though, is their offensive line is suspect. He's got maybe one receiver, Gary Bryant, that's reliable, and after that, a bunch of average guys. They really miss Drake London. So, you know, if BYU can put pressure on him, which I would assume they can because USC is not a great blocking team, you know, he could have some issues. And, you know, they don't have a real go-to receiver right now with London out other than Bryant, who's kind of a small guy. But, you know, I think BYU will probably figure out a way to get to the quarterback.
Is London done at USC? I mean, is he moving on after this year?
Yeah, I mean, he's projected as a first-round pick, and the only way I could see him coming back is if there's some type of setback in his rehab, but otherwise, I think he'd be foolish to come back, especially with a new coach and a new system and everything else, so I think he's ready to go to the NFL.
Do you feel like this USC team, you mentioned it kind of coming in there, Do you feel like they are waving the white flag, that they have very little interest in even putting much out on the field coming up this weekend?
Yeah, this is a weird game because, you know, usually UCLA is at the end of the season, and I don't think the fans are even thinking they have a game this week. And yesterday, I know they had a poor practice, according to Dante Williams, the interim head coach. So I think he's trying to figure out a way to kind of motivate them, because there's kind of a big letdown after you play UCLA or Notre Dame at the end of the year. And all of a sudden, you know, BYU is a team they would usually play in September. And, you know, for whatever reason, this game got scheduled after Thanksgiving. It's going to have a small crowd unless there's BYU fans coming. So there's not a lot to get excited about. And then the scary part is they have to go to Cal for that makeup game the following week. So,
oh, that's right.
You know, they have to win these two games to go to a bowl game, but I don't think that's a huge motivation for them, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, that's you bring up an interesting point. Are they even interested in going to a bowl game after what they've dealt with this year?
I mean, you can make a case if you watch the UCLA game. They weren't even interested to play that game. But so, you know, this is a non-conference game, and it's after Thanksgiving. There's not a lot of buzz. They probably had 40,000 for the UCLA-SC game. So the crowd could be really bad. It's a 7 p.m. kickoff, which I know you guys think it's probably never cold here, but it's, people are going to think it's cold that live here on Saturday night. So there's not a lot of, like, reason to go to the game.
So when USC loses to UCLA and loses to them in the fashion which they did, giving up 62 points, how much does that really anger that fan base? Because we have the Utah-BYU rivalry here, and BYU finally beat Utah for the first time in forever, and it was a huge deal. When there's a beatdown like that and you give up 60-plus points, how angry does it make that fan base? Or are they a point now where they're just kind of apathetic about this team?
There's still a lot of angry people. They may not have gone to the game, but they watched the game on TV. And I think a lot of these fans are just saying now, where's the new coach? When are they going to hire the new coach? We're ready to move on. We just want this season to be over. So that's what they're thinking about. But they, on Saturdays, they do get very angry no matter who they play. If they get beat up like they did against Utah, Oregon State, even Stanford, which looks crazy now in retrospect that they got pushed around by Stanford. But, you know, there's a lot of anger about the whole season in general.
I want to get into that coaching search here in just a bit, but I do want to stay on the field for a second. You know, I look at guys like Keontae Ingram or even Malpai, and I think to myself, you know, these are self-respecting young men that have a lot to play for. And I think of a guy like Jackson Dart, who did so many great things here in Utah, and they should have a little bit of pride. When you look at guys like Keontae or you look at Malapai, who should be one of those veteran leaders on this team, do they not have the veteran leadership to kind of pick themselves up by the bootstraps and say, well, we still got NFL careers to play for. We still got drafts to play for. We still have something to play for. Do they not have that kind of leadership this year?
Well, those two guys you mentioned, I think, have been good leaders, and they play hard all the time. The problem is you look at the other side of the ball, and you've got a secondary that's awful. They didn't put any pressure on the quarterback from the defensive line. I mean, Drake Jackson's supposed to be a All-American candidate. He's had a poor season. Corey Foreman's a five-star defensive end. He's barely played the whole season. I mean, there's just the defense has been the main problem. There's a lot of apathy on the defense. They look like they've given up a lot. You could see it at the end of the UCLA game. There was that touchdown run at the very end of the game where the guy went just through the whole defense. They just didn't even try to tackle him. So I think the big problems are on the defense. It's not Jackson Dart or Keontae Ingram or Vavai Malapai. It's those guys on the defense. They're just not putting out an effort for four quarters. I mean, Isaiah Polamalu is supposed to be one of the best safeties in the Pac-12, and he's had a horrible senior season. So these guys that were expected to get better as juniors and seniors look like they've gotten worse for whatever reason.
So It all comes down to the question, and I know you do a lot of interviews and you talk to a lot of people, and I'm sure everyone asks you who's going to be the new head coach. Do you feel like they've narrowed it down to a select handful of guys, and who do you think's on that list?
Well, they want a big name guy, or, you know, an established guy, and I think all things being equal, they would hire Luke Fickell, but I don't know if they're going to be able to get him if Cincinnati's in the college football playoff, and they would have to wait until after New Year's Eve at least to get him, and I don't know if they're, you know, willing to wait that long, especially when you have that early signing date, which like 70% of the recruits are signing nowadays. After that, I would say Dave Aranda. You know, he's from Southern California. They like him. They tried to hire him 2 years ago as defensive coordinator. And then Matt Campbell at Iowa State, I would say they've been looking at him for about 2 or 3 months now. So I think those are the three guys they would love to hire if they could get them.
Which one do you think would be the best fit when you look at it? And when you think about that, do you think a coach really does need to embrace the glitz and glamour of USC?
Well, if they do, then they better not hire Dave Aranda because he's a pretty boring guy. But my theory is they just need a competent coach. You don't need a great coach because it's USC and you can recruit a lot of great athletes because you're in LA. So they haven't even had a competent coach, though, in a long time. So I think, you know, any of those three, I think, would be fine because they just need someone to come in and instill discipline and be organized and confident. I think they would like Luke Fickell because they know him already. And, you know, he's really hot right now. But I don't think they could go wrong with Aranda or Matt Campbell. The problem is going to be if for some reason those three guys turn it down or can't be hired, and then they're going to have to kind of start looking around for other people. And that's where past searches have kind of led to poor people being hired, like Steve Sarkisian.
You're spot on there. Dave Aranda used to be the defensive coordinator at Utah State, and I was a little nervous when he got the Baylor job just because I wasn't sure if his personality would be such where he could be in front of the camera all the time and do the weekly interviews and all that stuff that came along with it, because I know he really despises that stuff and is not a fan of it, and he's done a tremendous job at Baylor. But the job at USC, do you have to be not only a good coach but also have that Pete Carroll kind of showman-like personality as well to make it work with all the other obligations you're going to have there?
Well, you're going to have a lot of media obligations. So, and, you know, look, Chris Peterson didn't want to live in L.A., and I don't know if he wanted all that glitz stuff. Dennis Erickson wasn't, you know, willing to do that 20 years ago when he was at Oregon State and the SC wanted him. So, you know, even though Dave Aranda's from Redlands, which isn't that far, maybe he doesn't want to do that stuff. I don't know. The thing about him is, though, he's going to have to win, because if you're boring and you're losing, then you've got a problem. So I think he can be boring as long as he's winning.
So I was just looking at that UCLA game earlier this morning, and you were talking about their inability to play defense or their lack maybe of desire to play defense. Has there been a game this year where that defense did show up, where they turned up the dial, where they looked good? What I'm asking is, do they have the ability to do it? Have you seen it at any point through this season?
Well, not me. I didn't say they were going to be good before the season, but other people did. But, you know, everyone was excited after the San Jose State game. The defense, you know, looked good, but it was obviously San Jose State. So that's what made Stanford such a shock to the system, because, you know, they're rolling over 40 points against USC and blowing them off the line of scrimmage. So, you know, they've had moments where the defense looked good. I mean, they didn't play horrible against Notre Dame, but they just, you know, they weren't able to do enough to win the game. But they've had spurts. But what happens is if they're in a game and, you know, they make a couple bad plays, it seems like later in the game they just kind of fold. So if it's a close game, they seem like they play a little better, but if they think, like at Arizona State, they once they folded, that was it. The game was over. So they have moments, but I don't know if the scheme is the problem. Todd Orlando, the defensive coordinator, hasn't done a great job, but they're just not getting pressure on the quarterback, and they cannot defend the deep ball. So if I was BYU, I'd throw a lot of deep passes Saturday night.
Well, that's certainly something they can do, and they've shown the ability to do.
Very good at it.
With the landscape of where USC's at right now, obviously the natives are restless. They're angry. Is the boosters still – are they running the show there in terms of – are they going to have a say in who this hire is going to be? And after the last couple of misses, are they demanding an opportunity to make sure that they have a little bit of input on this thing?
Well, they don't really have the influence right now that they had in the past. I mean, the biggest booster of all was a guy named Wayne Hughes, who owned Public Storage, and he gave over $400 million to USC. So he died recently, so he's not going to, you know, tell them who to hire. And actually, a couple years ago, some boosters offered to pay for Urban Meyer's to come to USC, and the school president said, I don't want to be beholden to donors, and she said no. So they're a little different now than the past when, you know, the boosters or big-time donors used to kind of tell them, here's who we want, and go hire them, and we'll pay for it.
$400 million?
That's a lot of money.
Did you say he gave the university up to $400 million?
Yes, yes. It's, believe it or not, it's actually 400 to 450. The exact amount isn't known for sure, but he's the guy you might have heard. They have a building named after Al Cowlings, who was his good friend at SC, because he gave like $15 million to have a building named after Al Cowlings.
The white Bronco, Al Cowlings?
Yes, O.J. Simpson's buddy.
Yeah, wow. All right.
There's a building named after that guy?
Yes. Look, Google it. It's there.
Well, we believe you. We're sorry.
It's just, oh, no.
I
totally
just, that
believe
name
you.
Was like, wait, whoa,
yeah,
Al?
That's, just hard
that's
to
awesome. Well, hey, Scott, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the game coming up and look forward to catching up again here soon.
Great stuff, Scott.
I predict a good night for BYU.
There you go. I think we've gotten that impression from you. Yeah. Scott Wolf from, again, Inside USC Sports Illustrated.
You could tell he's down on the program.
A little bit, yeah.
He is down on the program.
Hey, all right, let's say you're Jeff Bezos, okay, and you've got Monopoly money. Like money, you've got more than you'll ever possibly be ever able to spend. Is there anything that you are passionate about enough that you would give, even if money's not an issue, you would give $400 million to? Like
I hesitate to say yes to you because you're going to mock it.
It's going to be the Humane Society.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
It's the protection and care of animals. If I could do that, I would, because they really do need our help, and I would.
I don't know if they need $400 million worth.
Well, I would love to build a facility the size of this Facebook facility out in Eagle Mountain, and just have it for the care of any animal around the country that cannot be taken care of. We'll put it out here on a ranch and we'll scratch its ears and give it some treats and
its own little piece of heaven.
Yeah. I'm not even kidding you. Like I'd love to do that. That's why I love the Humane Society so much, because they're kind of doing, but other than that, Scotty, no, but maybe the care of animals, but
that
still,
place that mom and dad used to talk about, the dog went to, it could really exist.
Yeah, like we'll actually have the farm where you're sending
See,
your
the
dog
actual
to.
Farm.
See, when I grew up on a farm, and people would like leave animals on the side of the road all the time.
Oh yeah,
like they would actually just I think, know. And they think like, oh, you're going to take care of it.
Well,
and we did.
So yeah, but I got to tell you, in that environment,
yeah,
because
wait,
you've got
what did you say?
Well, no, hold on, because you've got your own animals to care and protect for.
Yeah.
Sometimes that goes directly against the care and protection of your own animals.
Exactly.
And that is a direct threat to your livestock or to your dogs or your cats. And so there's some issues there. I totally understand some of those things. But instead of dropping it off next to a farmer where you know that cat or dog is going to have it's going to meet its maker, bring it out to my farm, and I'll care for it. But $440 million, I mean, I've got to have, yeah, Bezos money, $8-10 billion, yeah, whatever he's got. What has Bezos got? Is he in $100 billion or something?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we know you got the land for it, Hans.
Yeah, no, I don't. You're such
you just need the money now.
Yeah, you're such a moron. Yeah, oh, yeah, my 1 acre sure does go a long way.
In fact, I'm looking to actually build on your property.
That 1 acre is called your front yard.
That's his
true
garden.
I just love
it. I'm just glad you guys didn't bring up when Craig Smith brought up Bountiful yesterday. I saw you start smiling.
Oh, dang it. But the thing is his answer was 8 minutes, and I'd forgotten about 3 minute mark, and it just kept going.
Squirrel.
It's like let's just leave that little statement alone. We don't need to get back to that one.
But is Bezos the one he's
the Amazon
building?
Guy.
Yeah, but is he building spaceships and flying
yes
out there in the
yeah
space?
Yeah, he's all about space.
I'll tell you what I wouldn't do with my billions. That.
I know, right?
Well, let's go get William Shatner and put him in a shuttle. And no, I'm going to be like, hey, everybody, send your abused and downtrodden pets my way, and we'll
take care of
them. Yeah, we'll pet them.
Send Fido over here.
Yep, and I would employ.
Now, shooting animals into space? Now we're talking, right?
2,000-3,000 people.
Send animals into space. There you go.
Lloyd, if I could find a nice planet where everybody looks like Janet. Do you remember saying that in the 90s?
Yeah. All right. Time to go to break.
But, yeah, that's what I would do with my millions. I definitely wouldn't give it to a football program. That guy's out of his mind.
When Mark Harlan or Tom Homo calls up like, Hans, you know, you've been covering these teams. We gave you a lot of access. How about you kick back a little our way? Be like, yeah. Yeah. Well, let me get back to you on that one.
Got an itch here on the middle of my nose.
Hey, we're live here at Tim Daly Infinity. You might think you might need Jeff Bezos' money to buy an Infinity. That is not true. Not by a long shot. Trust me on that one. You can get into an Infiniti at a ridiculously low price. They've got 0% options available for you. They got a used inventory. They've got lease options. If you want to drive an Infiniti, and you should because you're a better person when you do drive an Infiniti, now's the time to come down and check it out. It's a beautiful showroom, and I might add, this is the only place in the state of Utah where you can buy a new Infiniti.
Scotty and I are sitting right in front of this QX80.
Oh, such a beautiful ride.
You know that is the premier SUV. That's the
yes
premier family wagon.
100%.
Top end, when you're talking about gas mileage, room and storage, third row, top storage or top cargo, towing ability, that QX80 can do it all.
Let's go. Come down, say hi. Johnny's got the jazz gear. You can check out these vehicles, price to move. Look, it's not only getting close to the end of the month of November, but we're getting close to the end of the year. So there's big numbers they need to hit, and you can take advantage of that right now. It's all here at Tim Daly Infinity and the Forever Warranty right here on the Zone Sports Network.
The new Zone lineup is here with the best coverage of the sports you love and the teams you can't live without. Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10, followed by Jake Scott and Ben Anderson from 10 to noon. Get your daily fix of Hans and Scotty from noon to 3. And then the Zone welcomes Unrivaled with Alex Keery and former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell to the team. Weekdays from 3 to 6, live and local. All day, every day. This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com. You're listening to the Cougar Preview Show with Hans and Scotty on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, live here at Tim Daly Infinity. Come by, hang out with us, check out these Infinities, price to move. Let's go. Tell you what, you drive an Infiniti, you feel better about your life.
They're beautiful vehicles.
Yeah.
You like an Infiniti?
I do.
The Glide?
The engine in it, from what I've heard, there's
so
special rides.
So it's got a little goose?
Yeah, especially that QX55.
The class?
It yes does have the class.
Yeah.
Next level class.
Okay. It's still, though, a vehicle for the working man. Salt of the earth, people.
It is, man. Darn right.
You come on down here. You say, I want to drive one of these Infinities. They're going to help make it happen for you.
And they've got a lot of different financing options.
Yeah, trust me on that.
Hey, are we not allowed to tell people to ask for Dallas? Because I want to tell people, ask for Dallas.
You can, I'm looking to see if Dallas is up there. I don't think he's, I don't see him in the old office up there.
I don't see him in his office today, but ask for Dallas. And ask for that forever warranty, even though it comes with it.
Yeah. Forever warranty. As long as you own that vehicle, it's covered. That's great peace of mind right there. Well, a lot of people have a little peace of mind thinking BYU's going to the Coliseum and they're just going to wreck the Trojans. You're a little bit more...
This is one of those games I don't want to get over my skis at all on this game. This is the type of game that makes me nervous because you still have the athletes that can do it at any given moment. They could click. Jackson Dart worries me against this BYU defense. And I know that BYU's defense a couple of years back, you remember they just abused USC with the drop eight?
Yep.
And picked off everything that any of the quarterbacks, they have two or three that tried to throw something against BYU.
Yeah, and you remember Kyrus Tonga just wrecked that poor quarterback.
Yeah, Tonga, and I think Mahe too.
Yeah.
I think Mahe might have been a rotator that year. And just dominated him, and destroyed him. And I'm just curious to see how Jackson Dart shows up in this game. I'm curious with Ingram because Ingram, I think, is a good running back. And, you know, I think he's I don't know if he's 1,000 yards. When I was looking for Tyler Algier's numbers, I know I came across Ingram, and he was kind of in that upper category. And so I look at a team like USC and I think to myself, all right, are you in the mode right now? Is BYU in the mode right now that they can just dismiss USC?
No, absolutely not.
They're not.
No. This is a game, too, where you also understand that there's coaches, these players, and this is what's a little surprising when you hear from Scott Wolf mention about how players are giving up. A lot of these guys are coming back next year, and the old eye in the sky never lies. Like there's going to be a new coaching staff that's going to be doing a lot of evaluating here.
Yeah.
And it surprises me that there would be guys that would give up knowing that there's going to be a new coaching staff that you're going to have to impress. And they're going to go back and they're going to scour every second of every game you've played in.
Permission to speak freely?
Yes, sir. Granted.
So I'm just speaking as a former player if I was on this USC team playing against BYU. I would look at BYU as a prospective head coach of mine.
Ooh, interesting.
I would look at the head coach that I'm about to play against as a prospective head coach. I would look at the name. I would look at his staff. And I would say, oh, yeah, as a college football player, the only thing I knew was a couple girls' phone numbers and what I was doing that weekend. Like, I didn't have a real depth of life and my surroundings. So maybe I wouldn't have been aware of that. But if I was in a situation where I didn't have a head coach, I would be looking around like, well, who could be my next head coach? If I do one Google search, I'm going to see Kalani on the top five. So if I'm going in this game as a current player on this USC roster, I'm thinking to myself, oh, might be a chance to show him what I got. Maybe ought to pique his interest. How many times have we seen somebody come in and light up the Jazz, and the next thing we know, they're on the Jazz roster? They're on the Jazz roster. It's happened. And I do think that would be in the back of my mind if I was a defensive lineman, if I was a defensive player for this team. So I've got that in mind. I do know that bowl eligibility is a distant reach.
No, I don't think this team cares about that.
And so I don't think they care about that. I do think that there are guys on this team that care about a potential draft. And so they're going to be playing for that. I just don't I look at this game, and in my mind, I'm not going to dismiss it like I did Idaho State, and I'm not going to dismiss it like I did Georgia Southern, and I'm not going to dismiss it like I did Stanford and Arizona for the University of Utah. It's not that level of game for me. I'm going to take this thing. I'm going to take my prep and my study for on-field and my conditioning, and I'm going to take all those things extremely serious in this week getting ready for USC. You do not want to have a hiccup this week. It would undo so many good things that BYU has done. And in the back of my mind, that would remain. Like, all we do is blink, and the next thing we know, we've had a turnover. We had a stop on a fourth. They capitalized on it. They're up 20-0. And we're just getting started in the second quarter. Now we're digging ourselves out of a hole, which they can. They can dig themselves out of a hole because I'm with Scott Wolf. I don't think they've got a ton of defense. But I am not going to dismiss this team.
No, and I also think, too, if you're USC, you just got it handed to you by UCLA. You got a new coach that's going to be coming in. You're not sure who it is. But you've been roughed up a little bit in Pac-12 play. But now you're playing BYU. And in your mind, you're thinking, okay, look, UCLA got us. Chip Kelly got us. That was embarrassing.
Arizona State got us.
Arizona State got us. We can't lose to these guys. Because I know BYU, Big 12, Power 5. I get it. I get it. You're in your mind, you're Power 5. These players from USC do not look at BYU as a Power 5 school. And in their mind, they're like, okay, well, we just got to put it on us last week. That was embarrassing. What's really going to be embarrassing, if these guys come in, and granted, they're seeing the Vegas line at 8.5 or wherever it's at now, and they're going to be like, no, UCLA might do that to us. We're not letting this team do it. Now, look, BYU is certainly more capable in saying we don't care.
Yeah.
We're just going to do it anyway.
Yeah,
we don't care
nice.
What you think.
That would be great.
And I anticipate that that's going to be the chance. But I do think if you're planning on USC rolling over and playing dead, I don't think that's going to be the case. Now, it might. They might have it, you know, lick the stamp and meld this thing in and they're done. But if you are, as a BYU fan or as a player or as a coach, anticipating that that's going to happen, I think you're probably going to be mistaken. I mean, these are still high-level athletes. There's still pride involved. You just got embarrassed by UCLA. You can't let BYU come in and do the same thing to you.
Now, with all that groundwork being laid, Scotty, you did kind of roll something out there. Like, maybe BYU does just go out there and say, nah, sorry, that's just how it's going to be.
Yeah, because, again,
sorry, want, take this pill.
Yeah, want, desire can only get you so far.
Yeah.
Talent, ultimately, and scheme is going to rule the day, and I think BYU is just a better team right now.
And I don't know how many of these guys on this team go back far enough to win. They came to Lavelle Edwards Stadium and got embarrassed.
Yeah.
Got spanked. But I do know guys like Malapai were on the field. And I know that guys like Malapai have a lot of pride. I also look at guys like Jackson Dart, who I don't know the exact scenario here in the state. Did BYU offer him? I mean, we had conversations that Utah did not because of current quarterback
situation. I think BYU did. I'm pretty sure they did.
I don't know. But if I'm Jackson Dart, this is my opportunity. This is my opportunity. I know the entire state of Utah is watching.
Yeah.
Hey, look what you guys missed out on. And look why I came here. Because we are the show. If they just get manhandled and embarrassed, it's like, if I'm anybody from Utah on that roster, I'm like, so Utah beat us up the way they did. That was embarrassing. Because that was embarrassing. Utah roughed them up.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're thinking to yourself, well, BYU just roughed us up. Well, at least we're not Washington State. They had Utah State run tap dance on our heads. At least we only lost a 2 of the 3. At least we're not the Washington State Cougars. But I'm just saying, to your point,
yeah,
they don't want to lose to BYU in the Coliseum, which according to Scott Wolf, where nobody will be, He mentioned that three times.
Yeah.
Why would anybody go to this game?
I mean, let's be honest. It's going to be cold. Apparently, it's going to be a frigid 72 degrees there.
Oh, you know, you get into
bundle
those
up.
Low 70s.
I don't know how we're going to survive this. But you're right, though. I mean, look, it's the University of Spoiled Children for a reason.
Yeah.
I mean, it's they demand high quality, and if they don't, they're going to throw a fit, and they're not going to show up, and they're going to complain. And that's where USC's at right now.
So all I'm saying is I am projecting a BYU win. Yes, I am. I am not just going to cast off my analysis in this game because I did against Idaho State and Georgia Southern. I just threw out analysis. It wasn't worth my time.
Yeah.
I went and looked at the Georgia Southern defensive ends. I saw a couple pressures, then went back another game, and they were just held at the line of scrimmage. I went back, looked at running backs, and they were just way too inconsistent to really give some in-depth analysis. With USC, there is enough there. Ingram was a very good running back for Texas. Ingram is a very big transfer for USC. Ingram is a good running back, and if the offensive line decides to play on a given day, maybe they can create some holes because BYU scheme showed against Georgia Southern in the first half that they're susceptible to some things. If I'm USC, I'm licking my chops in this game a little bit. I'm like, hey guys, look, Georgia Southern did this to me in the first half.
Yeah.
You're telling me we can't get 17, 20 points in the first half against this defense? You would too, wouldn't you?
100%.
If you're a USC coach.
Absolutely. And you're just like, hey, look, I know there's been a lot going on. You're still USC. See that jersey you're wearing? That still stands for something.
Yeah. We got to end with
some. Go out there and act like it.
We have some pride, and it was some pride. Scott Wolf brought up an interesting storyline, which I'd forgot. They do have another game after this.
Yeah, they got the Cal game that got pushed back due to COVID.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. All right, Hans and Scotty, we continue on. A good friend of ours. You know, I haven't chatted with this guy for a while. I think you had him on while I was gone, though, right? Will?
Yes. Yeah, and he didn't want to come on, but then Lloyd begged him. Then he came on and shamed me. And so we're going to get him back because I want to get Will's thoughts on USC's five-star crew that
is – Can Will make an announcement where his son's going to play?
I asked him last week, and Will got after me.
Oh, really? So don't bring that up.
Well, he'd probably love it if you asked him. But I ask him, and you'd think the world is falling apart.
That's got to be an interesting world he's living in. I mean, you know, when the time comes with Rock, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
On dealing with it. Because it's one thing for yourself to be recruited, but as a parent of a high-level recruit, it's going to be –
Yeah.
It's got to be weird.
Especially when you go through the things we went through and saw the things we saw. It's interesting.
Sitting around having Bible study. And
that's what Nebraska did.
Yeah.
That's what John L. Smith was known for.
Son, open up to Corinthians. I've got a verse I'd like to share with you. All right. Hans and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Slow Mo Joe.
The Joe Ingles Show with DJ and PK.
How in the world could you possibly write a check for $30,000? There's no way I could do that.
You guys are like this. I got an email the other day from the NBA, and my agent's on it, the Jazz are on it, obviously. And it's a little statement from the NBA like, hey, you've been fined this much money, and you need to pay the money by whatever the date was. And I, feeling a bit mischievous, I clicked reply all. And I hope like Adam Silver's not on there or anything, but I wrote back and said, could you guys just send me your Venmo account, and I'll get right to it. And not one person replied, so I don't know if they're going to find me again or not, but the $30,000 fine is a lot less than what one game or two game suspension would have been, so obviously very understanding of why the NBA fined me. I love the NBA. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Catch Jazz Man Joe Ingles with DJ and PK every Thursday morning on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. You're listening to the Cougar Preview Show with Hans and Scotty on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Live here at Tim Daly Infinity, 4550 South State Street. We got some Jazz gear. All you have to do is come by, grab some of that, and let's get you taken care of, squared away, as BYU gets it to take on USC coming up on Saturday. Hans, we got a busy weekend of football, man. Coming up on Friday, well, you got all your NFL games on Thursday, so you can gorge yourself on good food. By the way, I have not heard back from our friend at New Mexico yet.
No email.
No email yet.
Okay, just keep us informed.
I doubt that we will get anything.
He's going to get back to you. He's going to get you a big meal. He dang well better. His head coach told him to. He's got to. Imagine somebody, like, imagine Kyle Whittingham, like, calling somebody and being like, hey, get it done, and them not doing it.
Well, it's like, I'm trying to think. Let's say if Kyle Whittingham had somebody coming in from out of market, and he said, hey, you know what? It's Thanksgiving. Let's get you a good meal. Paul Kirk's going to get you taken care of. I guarantee Paul's going to make sure that that guy gets squared away.
And knowing the kind of guy Paul is, Paul would be happy to do it. Sounds like Frank's the kind of guy that'd be happy to do it. We need to get you a good Thanksgiving meal. I can't have my guy down in some hotel lobby ordering up yesterday's tuna salad sandwich. That's horrible.
Oh, man, that bums me out. I mean, Thanksgiving's the best holiday of the year.
Yeah, and a tuna salad's.
By the way, are you hosting this year?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, but different side of the family this year. So Olsen's side moving Ma and Pa out.
Yeah.
So they're up north moving the house.
So you got
So I've got Amanda's side. It'd be awesome. I'm excited.
Yeah. Firing up the smoker.
Yep.
Doing the brine?
I'm doing the turkey. Turkey's in the brine right now, buddy.
Nice.
It's a orange rind.
Did you get a pack or did you make your own?
Did my own.
Good.
It's heavy salt and brown sugar. There's a lot of apple cider in it.
People like a lot of citrus and fruit in that brine.
Yep. And those salts and brown sugars are important for the proteins break up. And then you've got probably eight different types of leaves and
bay leaves, all that stuff,
that are cut up in it.
Are you a believer in cooking the stuffing inside the turkey?
No, I'm not.
You worried about health, or you just don't like it?
No, yeah, I like to let that smoke get on the inner cavity. And I've never been the kind of guy that likes to pull the stuffing out of the turkey.
I am 100% stuffing inside the turkey.
Are you?
And I know there's some people that get concerned about, you know, the health.
That's
and
a bunch
like that.
Of, but that's I, a old witch's.
Well, I mean, it's legitimate. If you cook it right, though, I keep a temp probe inside the stuffing, and I keep a temp probe inside the turkey to make sure. But that when it forms that little crust, and then you get the juice from the turkey that gets into the stuffing, bam!
That's your favorite.
That's my jam right there.
Is that your favorite of the Thanksgiving meal?
100%. Yeah, the stuffing.
Mine's the candied yam, and it's not that stupid yam casserole. It's the candied yams, sliced yams. With the toasted marshmallow on top of it. And you know, I don't do that once a year. I do that probably 15, 20 times a year. I'm a yam guy. I like the candied yam. Honey, brown sugar, sweeten those yams up, the creamy texture.
But yet I'll be eating a egg salad sandwich in Albuquerque. Looking forward to that.
No, Fred's going to get you taken care of.
Let's hope.
Yeah, he's going to. Hey, I know that we've got Will Snowden coming up.
Yeah.
But really quick, I do want to mention, for BYU, the importance of these linebackers. Scotty, when you see BYU's drop eight, rush three defense clicking at its highest rate, in your mind, you've got to picture this, because this is common. Those linebackers coming up in run support and being able to take on a block and hold the edge. Okay, they've got to be able to do that. The other thing they got to do is when they drop into their zones, they've got to be flexible into coverage. Where they're tipping balls, batting balls, they're bracketing, and their coverage is on the spot, on time, and it's done the right way. You didn't have that in the first half against Georgia Southern. You don't have that in large degree without three or four of the guys that I previously mentioned. That is my biggest concern going into this game this weekend. I know that Ben Bywater has come out of nowhere, and he's done some great things. Good for him. Pepe Tanevasa, they're having to use him up the line of scrimmage, and they had to bring him up and use him off the end to try to stop some of the things that Georgia Southern was doing. Max Tooley, he got ejected in that game last week, and that's what really tanked them in the first part or the middle parts of that second quarter before the defense really struck gold with a couple of adjustments. And Ituiaki is good at halftime adjustments, but you could dig a hole against USC.
Oh, yeah.
So that's all I'm cautioning with right now. That's the only real fears I've got right now.
All right. Will Snowden joins us next live here at Tim Daly Infinity, where you can get one of these Infinities at a ridiculously low price right now. You've got lease options. You've got used options. You've got 0% financing options. There's really no excuse. Come down, check it out, find out for yourself. Tim Daly Infinity right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.